when you want an opportunity to hear from people all over the sports world, there's only one voice to trust to bring those stories to you. Here now with a special guest is Dan Tortora.
Well, first and foremost, George, when you look at this team, as far as the mission of your program, values, tools, experiences that you bring, what would you say is the mission of Central Florida, not just in general, but under you as a head coach?
Well, one is obviously to create a culture of academic and athletic success. Everything is built around that in the program, and I think we've accomplished both as long as we've been here, as far as the academic success we've had in the country, not just in the conference, and the athletic success we've had. But it's not easy. I think it takes a lot of engineering, a lot of detailed planning, and a staff that understands what the priorities are and make sure that they're being enforced, not just on the first string kid, but the fifth string kid and the walk-on, so everybody's treated the same, and they all have that idea that they're going to get a degree, and if they have an opportunity to go further with their degree, as far as football is concerned, that's great, but I want them all getting degrees and graduating.
When you bring up the fact about the academics being such a big part of this and wanting more from them on that side with the rest of their lives, knowing that football will end at some point, how do you feel players have taken that? Because obviously there's the dream and the lure of playing in the NFL, but how do you feel your team has really established that athletics is important, and do you feel like you've been a good leader in teaching them that at some point in their life they're going to need it?
Well, I think part of a head coach's job is to lead, and I think you got to set the priorities in your program. And the players know that. You know, I'm constantly talking about academics as far as class is concerned and tutoring. There's zero tolerance in that, and I treat both of them just like practice. I mean, you better not miss, and they understand the importance of it. And I put people on the sideline for doing what they haven't. Not supposed to do academically. I think you have to be able to do that. You got to stand up for something, and stand up for it, whether it's the fifth string kid or the first string kid. If they don't do what they're supposed to off the field, then you have to react to it. And I do react to it, so the players know it's important to me. It's important to the program's success, and that's what the culture is. And winning takes care of itself. They all want to play football, but there's other things outside the football program that are just as important. I think you got to put an emphasis on those if you're going to be successful, and they're going to take the right message. And obviously, we do that here. And I think obviously a lot of people are involved in that from a support element, but they all understand what the goal is in this program is to graduate our athletes and to make sure that we're playing for championships. That's what we do, and that's what I think we've basically built the culture on.
George, when you look back on becoming a head coach for the first time and then going through to where you are today, what were some of those experiences in your life that you brought with you that when you said to yourself, when I become a head coach, I want to make sure that I impart this? Were there any pieces of your life that you really took into coaching to say, if I'm going to teach them anything, at least I can teach them from some of these experiences?
Well, I think perseverance. I think, number one, I think any good head coach has great perseverance, because you got to be able to deal with all different facets of winning, losing. You have to wear about nine different hats, and you got to be able to juggle and handle all that stuff. Besides, you know, keeping your players in line, you got to make sure that the program is being run by support people the way you want, and you have to have a game plan before you become a head coach. You just don't take a head job and decide, hey, I'm a head coach now, what do I want to do? I think all the good ones I've been around, they had a game plan, a policy book. They had everything done already, so when they got a head job, you know, they knew exactly what they wanted. Every issue was covered, from bowl games to classes to mispractice to, you know, late miss curfews. Everything was covered so that here's what we're about, and the rest is just enforcing it and then making sure you hire a staff that can teach and coach and then move on from there. But I don't think you just take a job without having some type of game plan. Or you know, most coaches, if they don't want to be head coaches, they better want to be coordinators, because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys that want to improve themselves and move up the chain of command. You never remain the same. You get better or worse, and I want guys getting better. But I think you have to have a game plan. You got to have all the dots, all the I's crossed, and, you know, dotted and the T's crossed as far as if you're going to get things done right. And you don't do it when you get the job. You have to have all that brain surgery stuff beforehand, so you have all the questions answered.
When you look back at when you accepted your head coaching opportunity, what was the game plan in your mind? What were some of those bullet points? And like you said, dot your I's and cross your T's. When you walked in with your game plan, what was your game plan?
Well, one, we're going to be as organized and detailed as we could possibly be as a program in every facet of the game, offense, defense, weight room, study hall, academics. It's all going to be in writing. Here's what we want to get done, and then we can adjust from there if some things couldn't get done that way. But they're all going to be very organized, very detailed, and making sure that everybody knew their responsibility and what and they were accountable for it. First with your staff. All right, so I wrote a policy book up regarding responsibilities of the staff and every facet of the job, which I hand out every year. Each year it changes some, most years it doesn't, but here's my expectations of you. You got to get that straight with your staff first, and then you deal with the player policy book and how we're going to handle all these situations. So I thought that was something you had to have done before you actually get a job, because once you're in the job, you're so busy, you just can't, you know, make decisions on the run. I think you have that stuff in writing, how you're going to handle stuff. Now, all situations are different, but you still got to know what direction, the initial direction you want to head. So I made sure I had that done. And then basically, you got to look at how can you basically win in this program? What is missing? And obviously, you get a head job because either got left for another job, all right, or the guy got fired, one or the other. And if you left for another job, better job, you usually have some talent base. If you got fired, then you got to start from scratch and you got to install what you think you need to do to win. And I think you need players, number one, but you need guys who can coach players, number two. And if I had to take a good coach or a good player, I always take a good coach as far as what's taking place. So I think all that stuff runs through your mind before you get a job, but you got to have a game plan, a plan of action, and how you're going to enforce that plan of action.
When you talk about bringing in the right people and you want guys that want to learn, when you look at your coaching staff, who are some of the coaches, either current or in the past, that you've had on your staff that you really felt have left a really good impression, not only on you, but on the players as well?
I mean, I've had a number of guys leave for head coaching jobs. Doug Marone, Billy O'Brien, Randy Edsel, Rob Friesen was with me. I mean, so Ted Roof was with me. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there that have come through, and they all have the same work habits, and they've done very, very well for themselves as far as moving along the chain of command as far as jobs are concerned. But I don't think there's any one guy. I think there's a bunch of guys that got coordinators jobs, and just basically they were ready. Jeff Collins is the defense coordinator at Mississippi State. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that the tree that we have out there is pretty extensive, but I hate to name anybody because I miss somebody that I should be naming.
When you see so many coaches you had under you become successful and become head coaches elsewhere, how much do you put, I mean, do you ever give yourself some credit for that? Because obviously the tree is coming from you.
Well, not really. I think that I'm happy for them and I'm happy for their success. And you know, it's interesting to see the games and see how they install things and how much similarity there are as far as what they've taken with them. But, you know, I'm happy for them that they can do things like that, and I'm proud of the job they're doing. I don't get involved and pat myself on the back. I'm just doing my job as a head coach, and when they get their job, they're obviously doing theirs, so they've learned well. But I think that basically I'm proud of them. I'm just happy for them that they're having success.
And when you look at the success of your program at Central Florida, what's really made you not only fall in love with the program, but to stay in love with it? You've been there for a while. So what really has kept you passionate about the Knights?
I think one is the continuity of the program. When I took the job, I thought basically we had to start from scratch, you know, as far as, you know, to get the program going in all phases of the program, academics, athletics, weight room, every facet needed. I trusted the administration that I originally went to work for, that they wanted to get those things done, and they made commitments that way. And I think that's really important with a head coach, that you don't just take a job. You take a job where the people that are hiring you are making a commitment to do the things you need to do to win. And I think that's what happened here, and I think it makes life a lot easier when those things are done that way. Too many times, Dan, people take jobs and the president's not on the same page, the AD's not on the same page, and the coach is miserable as far as because he can't get things he wants done, done. And I think here, I think everything that I've tried to get done, they've been very, you know, good about trying to, whether raising money for it or doing things that they've made a commitment when I came here, and I think they fulfilled that commitment.
And kind of keeping with that, when you look at the program, there's two ways, the inside looking out and the outside looking in. From the inside looking out, from your seat, how do you feel Central Florida's taken, not only in the community, but in the football community across the nation? From the inside looking out, how would you say UCF is kind of being looked at right now?
Well, I think UCF is very well respected as far as throughout the nation, as far as a program that does it both on the field and off the field. And I think just from a standpoint of ticket sales and stadium capacity, there's no question that we've increased the fan base and all that locally. And, you know, I've always said that the closer you are to the school of living, the more negative sometimes people get, which is everywhere I've been that way. And I think it's amazing when I go to speak elsewhere outside the state what a great response I get from, you know, just how you, how well UCF is doing, and just what people's thoughts are regarding UCF. And I think that's something that we're very proud of here.
When you kind of look at the fact that obviously you've had a lot of success at UCF, but when a team does struggle, the backyard, the fans that should be there more than anything. Have you ever had any adversity as a head coach when fans are upset or things aren't really going well and they start booing? I mean, I've been in different places in the country and seen how sometimes the hometown crowd can express what they don't like. How have you handled that as a coach?
Well, I've been booed a lot here. I mean, there's no question. I think today's fans are you know, all talk show radio fans. I call them the FIWs, the faceless internet weasels, when they don't use their God-given name to, you know, all these things they write message boards about. But, I mean, I have a bunch in town that basically don't like the way we do things here. But, you know, it's highly outnumbered by the good fans that understand what's going on and the good things we're doing. And I think that's just life. That happens in every program. I think you don't pay attention to them. You move on, and you do what you basically put your staff to charge. You play the charges. Worry about the circle. I draw a circle with the team and the coaches, and I said, fellas, we're all in the circle. You can't be straddling the line. You're in the circle, and, you know, most programs are ruined from inside out, not outside in. Through my experience throughout the country, just listening to coaches and watching what's going on, and I think as long as you stay strong in that circle and basically move from there, you're fine. It's when you start getting naysayers within the circle is when you have problems, and I'm very aware of that. I'm very careful watching that. That there's an attitude problem or that type of thing going on, that I address it very quickly.
When you have had some attitude problems, some people that from the inside out are maybe not showing the best character, in your history as a head coach, how do you feel you've done handling? Obviously, you have a ton of players on the team every single year. This is something that it's very hard to kind of corral a bunch of guys in, and obviously it's not like the NFL where you have 53, you have a lot more than that. So how do you kind of handle when there is a couple character guys not doing what they're supposed to be doing?
I address it right away. I get in my office and explain what I've heard, if it's accurate, and what they need to do to correct themselves, or they'll be no longer part of this football team. I don't care if they're first string or whatever they are. But, you know, I talk about ants and roaches. You know, I want a team of ants that get in one line and follow each other around, and everybody's under the same rules. Not a bunch of roaches that are going to run around the different corners when it gets stickier and that type of thing. And I get rid of those roaches roaches real quick, because roaches breed baby roaches, and you don't need them around. And I think all it takes is one or two bad apples in your program, and you don't deal with it, then all of a sudden you got problems. So I'm very aware of that, and the support staff is aware of that, and the coaches are. And I think right now, today's day and age, with the way kids are, they're so into reset, you know, as far as they don't worry about, they play all these video games, and if they lose, they just reset and start over. Now, that's not the way football is. You got to work through sticky times, and we're constantly preaching that to the kids as far as what's going on.
When you look at the kids that you're bringing into the program on the recruiting trail, how do you feel that Central Florida's been received from when you started to where you are now? I would imagine that things have consistently gotten better, but how do you view it?
Well, I think that when we first started off, I was just trying to keep guys in the state that would leave. I think it was tough knocking heads with the powers to be in the state of Florida, but right now we're knocking on the same doors as everybody else, and obviously the tough situation is not being in the group of the Power Five as compared to the group of five, because I think recruiting's turned out to be initials, SEC, ACC, and it's not necessarily whether it's the best school for the kid, it's just they're going because of initials, and, you know, that's what I laugh at all the time, and a lot of situations aren't the best situation for kids, but they're going there because of the marketing or because of the TV ratings or because of the wrong reasons, not because of the right reasons, and a lot to do with the Power Five and what they can do and what some of the other people don't have as much money can't do.
How do you handle something like that with this Power Five autonomy, everything that's going on, SEC, ACC, and when a kid hears those names, obviously they kind of perk up a little bit, and certain recruits, right, not every recruit. How do you handle that as a coach where, like you said, they're not necessarily going to the best place, they're just going to the place that has the most TV viewers?
Well, we're on TV every week. I mean, that's what I tell them. And also, whatever they're doing, we're going to do, and that's the commitment that's what I spoke about earlier. You need a commitment from the administration that, hey, you know, whatever other people are doing in the Power Five, we're going to do, and we've done everything from the meal situation to when cost of attendance comes out, we're going to be involved in that too. So we're keeping up, because if you don't, you're going to fall further back, and if you fall further back, you're never going to catch up.
When you talked about, before I let you go, George, when you spoke about being involved in full cost of attendance, how is that going to work out for Central Florida?
We've already made a commitment. We're going to do that, and as soon as they come out with the formula and voted on, whatever we have to offer the kids as far as whatever Power Five school is doing, that we're going to, I've already got a commitment from the president and the athletic director, is that we will do what we have to do to stay tight with the Power Five so that we don't lose recruiting edge, and basically there's nothing out there that has a reason why you shouldn't come here.
And then finally, with the American Athletic Conference, what has this term American Athletic Conference meant to you? How does it kind of fit into the fabric of the nation and what's going on right now as far as your team and what you see from the conference and Mike Oresko?
Well, yeah, I think first let's talk about the commissioner. I think Mike Oresko's done a tremendous job as far as with the TV contract he's gotten for us. You can't, if there's anybody complaining in the conference, they're very mistaken, because I think the TV exposure that we've gotten last year, 6-7 national games, you can't buy that. And I think that's because of the American Conference. And I think if you look at the coaches up and down the American Conference, there's some very, very great, you know, good football coaches. And when you watch them on film, their teams are very well coached. What we got to do is, like everybody else, you know, get those war daddies up front. You know, that's the difference that I think between the Power Five and the American, is that we all have skilled kids. We just don't have enough of those guys up front, offensive line, defensive line, that make a difference in a lot of those games that you have to play.
Will the Power Five, that difference in autonomy and different rules that they're allowed to do you think that that will ruin the equality hopes for college football, or do you think that it's a good thing, could be a positive thing? How do you see it kind of affecting college football?
I'm all for the student-athlete, all right? I'm all for the student-athlete if that's what it's about. I don't think that's what it's all about, though, in my own opinion. I think some of the skills. I'm all for that, for the athletes to help them out. And I think whatever we can do to improve the situations with the athletes, I'm 100% for it. It's just I just hope it doesn't get out of whack in the recruiting base. All of a sudden, you're paying for all the parents to come. Where that's where the group of five is going to suffer, because we can do a lot of things. We can't do all of those things.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you looking at a lot of different areas, and obviously respect you for the hard work that you've done at Central Florida and throughout your time when it comes to football, and I thank you for taking some time with me here.
Well, that's